Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 85, vSphere 5.1, Tips Along the Way. Here we go. Today my guest is once again Greg Stewart. How you doing, Greg?
I'm doing good, Rick. How about yourself?
Hey, man. I'm heads down, Veeam speed all the way. At work, I got this major release I've been focused on pretty much. And you know how that goes, getting wrapped up and stuff. And in the course of that, a lot of things are changing, right? You know, we're changing our look and changing our message around, you know, in the case of the backup product. But actually, Greg, you've had a lot of changes too. Last time we talked, you were living halfway across the country, doing a different role. You reached out to me this week. So give everyone an update. What's going on with Greg Stewart?
Yeah, so I'm actually been super busy myself. I've been living out in Arizona for the past 2.5 years and just recently decided to make a comeback to doing some government contracting. So I moved back out here to Northern Virginia area, just outside of D.C., about 10, 15 minutes outside of D.C., and just doing government contracting, working with VM, RedNetApp, just kind of doing my thing just on the other side of the country. So just been out here since the middle of January, and I'm just starting to ramp up my blogging a little bit in preparation for VMworld here in a couple months, and I'm just excited for a new opportunity and a new change. So.
Yeah, that's got to be tough. I mean, I just recently went through a personal move, literally down the street. I've done, moves to a different state, but not that far. So, you know, and, you know, we were talking earlier, you're not even done yet. So hang in there and know how it goes. Know how it goes. And then speaking of VMworld and the ramp up, we were talking earlier and the vDestination VMworld giveaway program, you're going to probably get that ramped up here soon. Is that still in the works?
I am. It is in the works right now. I've been fortunate enough to have some really good sponsors, Veeam being one of the sponsors that has been there for me since the beginning. I've wanted to do this just to give back to the community. My very first trip to VMworld was a free trip contest that I won off of Jason Bakke's website, and just such a great experience. I wanted to be able to kind of pay that forward. And so I've been doing this for the past 2 years. This will be the third year. It will be my third year at VMworld, and it will be the third giveaway contest. So we're in the early stages of planning right now, but I'm super excited to be doing it again. I'm sure I'll find some great sponsors again, and it'll be looking forward to it here in a couple of months.
Yeah, that's a great program, Greg. And, you know, on behalf of Veeam, we are happy to sponsor that. And I really can't think of anything that really speaks better to the IT pro, you know, that virtualization expert that we all really want to be, and we all are, and we all can be. And VMworld is really one of those resources that is kind of a rite of passage. It's one of those things that you need to really put yourself above. And this program, Greg, if I remember right, it's not just a pass, but you line up a number of different sponsors. So, you know, one will take care of the registration, another for the airfare, another for hotel. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, and actually, you know, like I said, I've been really fortunate. It's kind of gotten bigger and bigger every year. And last year is just kind of the pinnacle. And so last year we had round trip airfare, and we had the registration, full registration pass, 5 nights hotel, and then we had two different dinners set up by two different vendors that took us out to a really nice location in San Francisco. I think it was Roy's Hawaiian Fusion diner, and it was amazing. And so it's just kind of the community just kind of reaching out and giving back. Everybody's pitching in, and it's just a really exciting opportunity for the winner. So looking forward to it again.
Outstanding. And the virtualization community, I have to say, does this better than anyone. You know, Veeam and
Absolutely.
Other sponsors aside, we just do it. And, you know, when it comes to VMworld, hey, everyone, come find me. We'll have beer. That's how it rolls. And I love it. It's good stuff. So, hey, so Greg, you know, I bumped into you at VMworld before, but, you know, we're dealing with a very busy technology landscape, you know. So last year, vSphere 5.1 came out. And, you know, at first glance, you know, those of us who are in the know, it was one of those things we kind of knew was coming, right? You get some heads up on some of the features and such. But personally, I found that vSphere 5.1 is actually quite a big change from the administrative side. Yeah, there's a good long list of new features,
yeah.
and we'll talk about that. But, you know, from the administrative side, it's a pretty big architectural change. So, you know, I've got a couple things we'll talk about, but at the high level, any comments on that?
Yeah, you know, and Veeamer has been, as far as I've been in the virtualization game, Veeamer has been pretty consistent with about every other year major release. And, you know, in the off years, it seems like there's usually like a .1 release that comes out or an update that comes out. But with the release of 5.1, it really felt more like a major rollout, a major release. And I know there was a lot of excitement at VMworld with the release because, like you said, we'll cover all the different little tools that are involved in it. But it really was, I feel like it was more than just a .1 release. It was more like a major release.
Yeah, and what we had with at least 4 to 4.1 is we almost set the framework for 5, right? So I don't know if you remember, but
right.
there were some really specific 64-bit platforms were required, certain databases, etc. So in this case, though, the one thing that I'll start with is like single sign-on, right? This is really paving the way for the larger vCloud suite, so all the different components can talk to each other and stuff like that. But that came onto the scene with 5.1 as being a requirement. So that's kind of a learning curve, right? And I did some material earlier on how to prepare for a vSphere 5.1 upgrade, and I wrote down a bunch of little tips and tricks, and basically what I'm trying to do is save people from, you know, set their maintenance window, hey, I'm going to upgrade vSphere at, you know, midnight, whatever, and just going to go from 5 to 5.1. I've done it before, shouldn't be a big deal. Hopefully you have a backup. I can help you with that if not. But anyways,
sure.
Then you get this question about single sign-on. Have you had to deal much with single sign-on thus far in any labs or even production capacities?
Yeah, a few times. You know, not very many times, but I have had to do it a few times, and you're right, it is a little bit of a learning curve, but I feel like it's almost a necessary thing these days, and it's definitely, I mean, once you have it and you've got it configured and you understand how it works, it really kind of makes life a lot easier, I think.
Yeah, and that's the point, right? It's that larger vCloud suite. So I've had to explain single sign-on to people as kind of an inter-process communicator, like a racetrack that's going to go around the different components of the vCloud suite. And, you know, when you kind of get that as a framework, you know, it's just, you know, vCloud suite, then that part of it comes naturally. So in a way that makes sense. I mean, I've grown up really doing all my authentication off of Active Directory. Now it's important to note Active Directory
right.
still supported for at least for vCenter server. But when you think about some of the other components, then, you know, single sign-on, that's why it's a requirement, because vCenter doesn't go away.
Right. No, vCenter doesn't go away. And it's, let's be honest. It's like the central piece of this whole game, right? So,
mm-hmm.
you know, keeping that in play and having single sign-on added to it, you're right. It's just, you know, the way that they're approaching this 5.1 and titling it the, you know, vCloud suite, it's just an entire suite of products, whereas before it was just all about VMs. Now it's not just about VMs. It's gone far beyond that.
Absolutely.
They've added so many things, and it's become, you know, the vCloud suite. It's an appropriate name because it's a suite of products. So
yeah, in fact, and this also aligns to something I'm working on here at Veeam, but, you know, we're starting to gravitate a lot to vCloud Director. Okay, so that's one of the central themes of the software-defined data center. And vCloud Director, I really like the idea. I like the approach. Personally, in my professional experience before Veeam, I didn't really work in environments big enough to warrant vCloud Director. But now I get it. You don't even need that, right? A lot of times people think vCloud Director, oh, I must need to be like a hoster or a telecom provider to need that. Well, actually, I can even make the case for anybody with departmental servers. I mean, especially in a development capacity. Man, this is going to really change the shape of the, you know, the VMware virtualization practice. My biggest challenge at the one role I had was web developers. We did a lot of web services, custom in-house apps, right? You know, a lot of people deal with that. And the developers always say, hey, I need a dev box. Hey, I need a dev box. And, you know, how cool would it have been if I had a virtual data center an organization defined within it, and then they had VApps that they could just pump out, and I could put policy around it, and I could back it up if I needed to. I mean, that's where it is now with vCloud Director, and then soon with Veeam to back it up. But, you know, how about in your experience? Have you bumped into vCloud Director much?
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, I run into the same common thing. And I think it's a conception. It's just a lack of, you know, understanding of the product. But, you know, at first it was kind of like, whoa, you know, vCloud Director, we're nowhere near that. You know, we're just a small shop or whatever. But I think now it's becoming more of it's coming out, especially with the release of 5.1, it's become more of a prevalent product line for VMware. And so, you know, having that and then having some of the education, it's a little bit of a learning curve, you know. It's different than vCenter. It's different than just your standard VM stuff. You kind of have to think a little bit out of the box on this one. But it's definitely a really nice tool. And it's just going to, like you said, just going to keep growing and growing, and more people are going to be adopting it. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's the learning curve. When these new things come out, and they're kind of intimidating. You know, we've been doing something on one model for so long. vCenter server with your X number of hosts, and you're managing it, and you feel like you have control, and then, you know, VMware comes out with vCloud Director, and it's just a whole new thing, and you're like, wow, do I need that? Do I not need that? And so, yeah, it's a learning curve, but, you know, with anything, it's just going to continue to be adopted. It seems to be the model of VMware uses. You know, they just kind of put things out there, and people just pick it up and just enroll with it. So
that's exactly right. That's exactly right. A lot of the listeners here, and Greg, I'm sure you know John Walsh over at Northwestern. He has an excellent use case for vCloud Director. And he really kind of took it from the way he adopted his virtualization practice for deploying kind of a pod-based architecture. You know, one really capable storage system, maybe three or four hosts, and I don't remember his exact arrangement, but I think it was like four hosts, a very capable storage system, and then a dedicated piece of storage for backup, and that's kind of how I came across this scenario. And the thought was you just repeat those pods as needed, and then you make vCloud Director organizations across that, and it's a really, really nice arrangement. But the silver lining here is, you know, we're not talking about thousands and thousands of hosts. You know, I don't know his exact number, but, you know, just generically speaking, mid-sized organizations can really take advantage of this technology to keep anybody with any type of departmental request, keep them satisfied. You know, developers, sales, accounting,
right,
marketing, whatever. The tools are there, and I think the best way that, you know, virtualization administrators can really see it is to see these use cases. So every time I see these, I really try to zero in on how they're using it, because I think that, you know, that kind of, hey, I'm a peer, I deal with the same things that you deal with, this is a great way to use it. I think that's very valuable.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, as long as we're on the topic, I'm thinking there's two other tools that I really like with this 5.1, and one of them is auto-deploy. And the other one's the web client. What's your take on those?
You know, the web client, the return of the web client, yeah? So
right.
The web client is, again, if you think of the big picture, the vCloud suite and where all these technologies are going, it makes sense. Okay, I can take that. And honestly, once I got it set up, it's pretty nice. I've been using it here at Veeam, and we actually have a web client plugin that will give you some backup product visibility in there. Nice little, you know, useful piece of information inside of your administrative interface. And on top of that, people have been asking for it forever. But anyways, you know, at first
well,
it was
it seems
a little...
to, you know, it seems to be a little bit more robust this time around, at least. It seems like it spent a little more time on it.
They got it right this time. I really think they did. But I'll be honest with you, Greg, I find myself leaving both open, the thick client
really?
And the web. Yeah, I'm old school, but I find myself leaving them both open.
Yeah, you know, it's when it comes down to it, it's a web client, you know, and it's kind of comforting to be able to have that little icon on your desktop and go straight to the thick client, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
and I find the thick client still a lot more reliable than anything you get on the website, but.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to also think about it. It's granted, it's matured a lot since what we had in the 3 era. And honestly, I think the go way back to like VMware Server 2, right? This web client really feels like a very, very, very modernized version of that, because I think a lot of the kind of the pilots, the concepts, were really piloted way back then, and then of course they were fully baked in what we did in the, you know, VI3 web clients and in the previous web technologies. It's all kind of rolled up, and this is definitely fully baked, and it's only going to get better. So maybe on the next version of vSphere, it's very possible that I might not use both, you know. So,
well, you think we're ever going to see the thick client go away for good?
Ooh. I don't know. I hope not. Because
I feel like they're pushing it that way. I really do.
There's a certain benefit to, I don't know. Well, you know what, you know, the weird part is, Greg, is that it uses the web services anyways. That's how it communicates.
Sure.
So, you know what? I got to change my mindset, and I honestly say I hope it does go away, and let me tell you why. How many times have you plugged into a server, oh, got to download the vSphere client, you're too new, you're too old, that type of thing, right? So
yeah.
We start doing workarounds, you know, remote app. Thin app, right? Those types of application virtualization technologies just to run this thing, the vSphere client. So in the end, the web client is probably the correct thing to do, all technologies considered, right? It works on alternative non-Windows OSs. Can't do that with the thick client. So the right thing to do is to adopt the web client.
Yeah, I agree. And like you say, once again, it all goes back to being a learning curve, having to, you know, change your way of thinking and go a different route. It's just, that's the basis of IT as a whole, really.
Yep.
Constantly having to evolve and stay ahead of the curve. So,
speaking ahead of the curve, you know, what would also come in there and ruin my weekend is if somebody said, yeah, I got 100 new ESXi hosts, I need to push them out. You brought up auto-deploy, and I tell you what, I've not been in that situation, but the moment I am, that's the technology I want. What's your thoughts on auto deploy? I think it's great for the enterprise. I haven't been there myself, but you know.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it implemented in a large enterprise before. I don't think it's the route to go if you're a small to medium shop, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, in a large enterprise, definitely the administrative effort that goes into having to, like you said, if you got 100 servers come in and you got to rack them and you got to get them deployed, like ASAP, auto-deploy is the way you want to go. It's just a really nice tool. It works. It's not too difficult to implement and configure. It's just a matter of doing the administrative work that you have to do for one host, doing it once, and using it to deploy, you know, 10, 20, hundreds of hosts at a time. So there's definitely value added with the auto-deploy tool.
Yeah, and you always see VMware really come hard with the enterprise features, right? They really do that, and that's exactly what auto-deploy is. And I think, I'm reading the KB, so I don't want to say I think. I'm not trying to sound any smarter than I am, but it was introduced in 5.0, and then it was updated for size and scale and feature in 5.1. So,
sure.
You know, that's a great technology. It's got PowerCLI extensions. So, you know, just think of the ability to automate that. Yeah, it's pretty cool. And that, you know, the best part is it addresses licensing. So you can push licenses out to hosts. That's so important because I hate it. I'm bad, right? I'll 60 days later, 30 days, whatever it is. Oh, I forgot to put in my key. And then the host, you know, goes off on me. You know, I've had that happen in a production capacity. I'll admit it. But luckily, you get
the warning. Like, and, you know, along with that, you talked a little bit about automation. You know, automation, like PowerCLI, that has just become like the rock star of VMware, really.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen more and more automation blogs popping up everywhere, and we've got automation experts. And I mean, that's just kind of how it's gone. It seems like with every release, there's something new to automate what you do in VMware, which is, from an administrator standpoint, you know, a dream come true. So,
yeah, and, you know, and along those automation lines, I also want things that are easy, right? So in lab capacities, right? So just to clarify, I've been doing this in lab capacities. I've been using the vCenter server appliance. You know, click, click, go, right? How many times have we gone through the install of vCenter server and didn't select something right in Windows and, you know, got a database question and, you know, oh, yeah. You know, whatever. And it takes a long time, right? The vCenter server appliance, yeah. Oh, it's lightweight, couple questions, and you are up. Have you used that at all?
I have used it once or twice, not really recently, but yeah, it is nice. It takes the headache out of, just like you said, having to deal with issues with Windows and mm-hmm. you forgot to do a step in configuration. Definitely databases are an absolute nightmare for me. So anytime that I can just, you know, point and click and be done, I'm good with that. And you know, the thing I love about VMware is that it seems that they really pay attention to the communities, the blogs, the complaints, the issues, the bugs that are going on, and they fix them, you know? And with each release, you know, they come out with release after release after release, it seems, but with each release, they have really addressed everything, every gripe, complaint, issue that has been in the past. And, you know, they do it without fail. So that's what I really love about VMware, and we're seeing that with 5.1. So.
Yeah, absolutely. They're definitely in touch with the community. And, you know, the best example, right, is the dissolution of the VRAM, right?
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's definitely a great, again, community, and that is a bidirectional community. And I don't know if I can say that many other technology communities are like that. So, yeah, we're definitely in a good spot, and, you know, aligning ourselves with these technologies are very important. So that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Greg, we're going to go ahead and wrap up here. You know, vSphere 5.1, there's a lot to it. You know, my personal practice is to go ahead and upgrade, even if I only do vCenter server first, right? Get that upgraded, keep that latest and greatest, and then eventually get around to the hosts and guests. But, you know, one important note, right, VMware Tools with 5.1 has the easy updates ongoing option, right? So it's a pretty seamless update. It doesn't require the reboot and stuff like that. So kind of some motivation for everyone to go ahead and get updated to 5.1, get the host there, and get the guest virtual machine hardware and VMware Tools there to help with ongoing updates of VMware Tools. That's a little, you know, a little bit of an incentive. Any gotchas or problems you've had, you know, like, oh, I wish I did this before I did my upgrade, anything you learned along the way that you'd want to share?
You know, I've learned so many things specific to 5.1. I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but...
Yeah, no worries, no worries. And every situation is different, too. That's the X factor there, right? I love people say, oh, I run VMware, so you and me are pretty much the same. I'm like, no way. You know, that's like...
nowhere near that. Yeah.
Exactly. That's like just saying, well, I breathe air, you know? Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's very... Here's what I tell people, and this actually gravitates back to storage. All VMs are not created equal. All storage.
No.
All network. And then all requirements and expectations are not created equal. And you've got a technology that can do anything with vSphere virtualization, and people are literally doing anything. So.
Right. Yeah, I've been in so many different client sites, and to be honest, I can't say that there was one that looked exactly like the other. It's
yep.
just, you know.
I agree with you there. One, I guess, gotcha avoidance system I'll throw out there. And it's an unfortunate, shameless plug, Greg, so you can heckle me on Twitter later.
I can see where this is going, Rick.
Well, the virtual lab capability that we have with Veeam Backup and Replication. So let's assume you've virtualized your vCenter server. What better way to test the upgrade than put the whole thing in a Veeam virtual lab? You want some VMs and some hosts in there? Fine. Throw a nested host in there. Use Update Manager. Put it in there, too. This is all running from the backups in a perfectly isolated environment. You know, memorize the options for your single sign-on configuration. You can do it all in a virtual lab. Have zero surprises when you go do it in production. I did a webinar on a topic. A lot of people like that idea. Good stuff. In fact, I even had a guy on Twitter do it from my recommendation. And he actually wrote back and said, man, you saved me like three different failed attempts, because he would have had to cancel his change control, fix problem A, make another change control. He found problem B, or not problem, but, you know, situation B, situation A, and situation C that would have extended it beyond the change control scope he had, like had to reboot the database server or had to update the .NET framework over here, et cetera, et cetera. So the virtual lab capability, great use case for vSphere upgrades.
Sure, definitely. I mean, obviously the thing that you want to do above all else is to back up your infrastructure. Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then that's, you know, step one. And step two, the enlightened step, is to know what you're getting into. And that's where the virtual lab is the... Okay,
sure.
Enough of the commercial. Anyways. Well, hey, Greg, I'm glad to hear that you're, you know, your head's down on the new job, and it's going good, and I know you're going to be looking for the end of the school year here coming up, and hopefully we'll see you at VMworld. You plan on being out in San Francisco this fall?
Absolutely. I'll be there.
Cool. And also, just let me know about the VDestination VMworld giveaway. We'll make sure we get that sponsor side taken care of. Happy to do so again this year.
Awesome. Looking forward to it.
Greg, thanks for being on the show again. And
hey, thanks for having me.
Not a problem.